Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And help us discuss the disgusting. You know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Happy New Year.
And you know her from YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror, infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello. Happy New Year. I had to steal it. Sorry.
It's all good.
And I'm John. No, it's not another deep dive episode. We watched a lot of good movies in 2022, and there was nothing going on in the news, so we figured, why not do an official 2022 wrap-up of our favorite movies that we watched in 2022, not that were made in 2022, because that would leave me with like four movies.
Oh, you've watched more than you gave yourself credit for.
Yeah, but it would be a really weird list if I had to add movies that I didn't like to my top 10 list of movies I saw in 2022. So for this, like I said, it's wide open. The movies could have appeared in any year. It's just we saw them for the very first time in 2022. Megan's list is going to be a little bit different. None of hers will include 2022 because her list already exists over on bloodydisgusting.com. Check the show notes for the link to that article. And I know for a fact that I think I only have like two of the same movies that you have on your list, which is interesting.
On mine?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think there was only like two of them. Granted, again, I think I only have like five movies from 2022 on here. So, and then me and Zena were wide open. We were just going to say whatever we want. And these movies will be in no particular order.
Yeah.
We're chaotic. Way too hard. Mm-hmm. Oh, so hard to rank. It was really hard to get to 10. At first, I thought it was going to be easy. I even said, let's do top five. And Zena's like, I can't do five.
No, like what?
Which is very fair. And so I didn't really realize until I went back through on the Letterboxd site, mm-hmm. which massive thanks to Robert Prudhomme, who's kind of our unofficial archivist for all the movies that we watch week after week. If you haven't looked in the show notes, there is a link to the Letterboxd site that he has kept track of all the movies that we've talked about.
That is amazing. Thank you.
It's amazing because I forgot a lot of the movies that I watched, or I didn't realize that I watched them this year. Like there were somewhere I was like, oh, I totally watched this. No, I didn't watch that this year, did I? I watched that last year. So it was very, very helpful. Without it, my list might have looked a lot different. So, yeah. So, thanks for that, Robert.
Yes.
And I don't know. Let's kick it off.
We'll start with Zena.
Yeah, let's just round table it. Just in no particular order.
Yeah.
One of your top 10 favorite movies from 2022. And if either Megan or myself have the same one, we can just call out that, yep, that's on our list too.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, but can I do series or should I wait for the series?
TV. Just want you to know up front that mine is pure chaos and I went with my top 10 that I loved, period. So it's a little, I got series in there.
All right.
Oh, see, I didn't add series and I thought about it.
It's your list, your rules is my theory.
Okay.
Yeah, I got stressed out making this list because I did movies from 2022, movies that, you know, not from 2022, but it was my first time watch. And then I did series, you know. So I'll save the series then. And I guess I'll just start off with a movie. And I'm going to go with the movie Hatching. I told you guys this, that I really like it. I really love social media influencer type of horror movies. This is the one where this little girl, she's a gymnast and she's really desperately trying to like please her mother. Her mother's an influencer. She finds this egg and she hides it. She keeps it warm. And it just keeps on growing and growing. And then what's inside is pretty shocking. I think it still might be available on Hulu in the US. So if you haven't checked that one out, and if you're like you know, like me, where you love influencer horror movies, I think you may enjoy this one.
That's a nice pick. How about you, Megan?
All right, I'm going to get the most chaotic one out of the way first, because it's a video game. It's the only video game that's going to pop up on my 10.
Okay.
But you know how, like, Spotify does the year-end wraps, and then all of a sudden it's everywhere? Like, everything is doing it, which means that PlayStation Network also does it, and they revealed just how many hours I've dedicated to this game, and it's so embarrassing, but yet not, because I do love this game. It's Evil Dead the game. I have probably mentioned it numerous times throughout the year. It's an asymmetrical multiplayer, you know, you're four survivors versus a demon, a Kundarian demon. And yeah, it's been my kind of like go-to blow off steam all of 2022 since it released, and yeah. I love it. So
that's beautiful.
It had to be in the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like if I had actually read or finished more horror novels in 2022, I probably should have added them to the list. But I don't think I completed one this year. I started a bunch.
You started a bunch. 2023 is the year you finished them, right?
Yeah. Oh, Jaws, maybe. I think I finished Jaws.
Yeah, you did. But would that qualify? That. Would that qualify for your top 10?
No, because I still like the movie more than the book.
There you go.
I'm going to start. My list is going to start with all the layups.
Okay.
And then there, I do have four that I feel like I have to mention at the end that were alternates that I feel like would be like, I have to mention because I liked them so much. They just didn't quite make the list for one reason or another.
That's fair.
But I'm going to start with the... For me, probably the easiest layup is Barbarian.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. I actually thought, because we had chatted about this earlier, like, should we take the layups off there? But then Megan's like, well, I'm not doing any 2022 movies, so that would be off the list anyway.
Yeah.
And obviously, Barbarian is a Dark Trio approved movie.
It is.
For
all the reasons, check out our spoiler-filled episode of it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't watched it, why haven't you watched it yet?
To do it.
Just do it.
Yeah. There would definitely be overlap if I was. But, I wrote about them, so you can go visit them. This opens the playing field now. Now it's on the list. It's on your list.
All right. Back to you, Zena.
What? No.
I know.
Because that means I...
There's three of us.
I know.
We've done three.
I just feel like I just went. Okay. So I'm going to go with a show, and I'm going to go with Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin, because when I watched it, I just thought it was so awesome. So basically it starts off 20 years ago, a tragedy happens, and then in the present, we meet these new set of little liars. If you're someone who haven't checked out the Pretty Little Liars original series from the mid-2000s, you don't have to rewatch it. I mean, don't. It will drive you insane. You could just dive in. This one is all the way horror. It feels like a 90s slasher movie. It's mean. It's bloody. It's a lot of fun. And plus, there's a girl that's on there who's really into horror movies, and she's just so cool. And also, there's going to be a second season, and I think it's going to take place in a different town. So it's just like, yeah. But yeah, also, if you are in the U.S., it is available on HBO Max.
Can confirm, because it was Zena, her rave about it, that I binged it this past weekend. So
yay!
I watched all of it, and I did really like it. I was snickering. There's so many movie references. Like, obviously, there's the Tabby who loves, she's like Randy Meeks, essentially, and is always talking about horror. But there's like, all of the characters are pretty much, well, side characters are named after horror people, like Father Karras and Wes and Carpenter and blah blah blah. So but yeah, it is very much a 90s slasher, teen slasher in series form. So yeah, I like that one too. Good recommend.
Woohoo.
All right, you're up, Megan.
I'll keep the series train going. From on Epix, it is so good. I really want, we're in that era where I feel like unless it's some massive juggernaut like Stranger Things, it's really hard for people to pay attention to TV series, which means that we get cancellations left and right.
Well,
all of
sucks.
That to say, please Watch these shows. I want them to continue. And From is such a twisty puzzle box series. It's a lot like Lost in that they keep giving you 15 questions for every answer, but it's so well done. And it's so very horror. I mean, like, there's so gnarly, good. Like, child deaths that happen right away. And not, like, on screen, but some of the adults get some pretty gory stuff happen to them. It's just really, really good. Yeah. They get dropped in the middle of nowhere. And they don't know why. And they can't leave. And then there's, like, creatures that come out of the woods and eat them and try to lure them. And, yeah, it's good stuff.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
See, mine's way more basic because it's one we just talked about last week, and that would be Nope.
Yay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Also Dark Hard Trio approved.
Also Dark Trio approved. And honestly, after our conversation last week, I like it more.
Aw.
Like, I don't talk about horror to a lot of people.
Okay.
Like, a lot of my friends, I have some friends who like horror, but we don't really talk about horror.
Right.
And, like, we might be like, oh, did you see this movie or whatever? It's like, yeah, but, like, we don't really do deep dive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, like, a lot of stuff that I don't notice. Like, we talked about, like, with Barbarian, like, different points of view.
Yeah.
Like, I watch a movie in one way, and then my wife watches it in a completely different way. And then, like, maybe Megan and Zena watch it in a completely different way because of whatever reasons. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I really like hearing people's different perspectives on the movies, too. Like, I feel movies would be so boring if there's, like, a right answer to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I watched the movie, I thought that, like, you know, there's the arms crossed version. Like, oh, this sucked. Like, you can't talk people out of it, but you don't talk to those people. But if you listen to someone's like, oh, I watched that and it totally made me feel this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, I didn't see that at all, but I totally see how you did. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I saw this. And like, as long as you're not like trying to like cement yourself in what the movie was or what it's supposed to be, it's so much more fun. And like, Nope kind of became that. Like, I look at it as this, like, the way I thought about it is like, I really like Jordan Peele,
mm-hmm.
but I think Nope more than his other movies. And the actors in his other movies have all been fantastic, the casting, everything. But something about Nope, like especially like, as I talked about and extensively last week, Jupe's character,
mm-hmm.
like I loved it. And the portrayal by Stephen Young so much that like there was just something different. Like it just felt like, wow, these, like, yes, it was great casting. Yes, it was great writing and directing, photography, all that stuff. But like the characters, like they just sold it.
Mm-hmm.
So well for me. And yeah, I like it even more. Like, again, I have to go back and watch Get Out again because I feel like my list is all messed up with Jordan Peele stuff. But yes, Nope, another layup. Should have easily seen that one coming with me.
That's
a good one.
Okay. So I'm going to go with something that's old, but it was a first time watch for me, and that's Blue Sunshine from 1978. That is currently available on Shudder. If you are in the US, I think in the UK and Canada as well. Basically, there are these crazy murders that are happening in Los Angeles, and basically people just start going bald and just crazy and killing people. Like, this guy was in the middle of a song when he attacked someone.
Aww. Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, it was just, it's insane. Like, a very, very fast-paced movie. So just in case if you're someone, because I feel like I come across people like this, sometimes they're not always open to checking out older movies, especially movies from the 70s. I feel like the pacing in this one is a good start. So just in case if you are interested, it is a good time. Check out the trailer, too. Like, I feel like the trailer would definitely lure you in. So yeah, this one's on my list because it's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
That 70s comment kind of called me out there. It's all right. I can move on. It's a new year. I'm fine.
New year, new you.
New year. Yeah. Speaking of, that's kind of, I realized that this would be a good opportunity for me to discuss the movies that came out at festivals but haven't yet released properly. So it's kind of like best, some of my favorites to look forward to in 2023. The first of which is Hazard. This one is a driver who, he loves his girlfriend, his daughter, really adores his car, but he gets a job from his dim-witted cousin who's just been released from jail. And it sends them on this insane thrill ride, danger. Like, it sounds so simple, but the way that they do it, it's from the director of Cub. I don't know if you saw that. It's the 2014 slasher, and the writer behind Cheap Thrills and 68 Kill.
Oh, nice.
It's a thriller that's so well done, so propulsive, so much fun, some pitch black humor, and the way that it's done, very rarely does the camera leave the car itself, and it still feels like this larger than life thriller. I really loved it. Not sure when it's coming, but it's coming. So,
what was that one shot movie that was just in a car? With the actor who played Bane in Batman.
I know what you're talking about, and I cannot. I just want to say it was something stupid like Drive, but it's not Drive.
Yeah, no, that yeah. There is a Drive.
There is Drive. Yeah, but there's some really short title for it too. I can picture the cover box and everything, but not the title.
I'm gonna Google it. But I can't even remember the actor's name right now. What's the actor's name? Why can't I remember? Normally, Tom Hardy. Thank you. You ever listen to other podcasts and you hear people talking about things and like they can't remember someone's name?
Just
how do you not remember that person's name?
Yeah.
That. It's like, how do I forget Tom Hardy?
That happens.
It does happen.
I'll figure it out like halfway through like what we're doing, and then I'll just randomly yell it out. In the meantime, another layup, especially for people who were part of our Patreon when that was going, X.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard for me, especially if you listen to that episode, just all of us, frankly, waxing poetic about it and the layers of it. And I have talked to a couple of people about it since then, but it was really the first time that I remember, despite the fact that my wife and I really, when we met each other, we kind of bonded over horror initially.
Yeah.
Not deep dive horror. Like, we watched kind of horror casually, but we really liked it. Uh-huh. And it was the first time we're like, I don't even remember us talking about X, really. And then she heard about it, like, watching the morning news or something. And we were just going to go out. My mother-in-law was watching the kids. And she's like, well, do you want to see X? I was like, sure, I think I've heard about that. Why not? I know nothing going into it. And then just getting to the end and being like, that was so effing good.
Yeah.
And then talking about it and all of a sudden like the layers peel off of it, that it's just this perfect example of a movie that you can watch on the surface level with no metaphor whatsoever. And it is a great movie. And then you start digging down like, holy shit. Like what you can actually pack into a simple premise for what should have just been a cheesy 70s slasher movie with great characters and great actors playing those characters and introducing the world to Jenna Ortega, or our part of the world to Jenna Ortega, who my daughter is super into watching Wednesday right now.
Oh.
And I still haven't seen Pearl, admittedly, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. It'll be on streaming soon enough, I'm sure, but for me, yeah. I think that's the last of the layups. The rest of them will make sense for me, but those are kind of like, I couldn't not say those three.
All solid picks, obviously. Yeah. They're all Dark Geo approved.
They're all, we've all approved of all of them.
Well, that's how we know that you really, that's how we know you really liked it, because, you know, you're bringing it up again. You could have just been like, I really hated it. Ha ha ha. You know?
I talked about it because you really want to talk about it. And the movie was Locke, L-O-C-K-E.
Locke. See, I knew it was a one word. Okay.
All right, back to you, Zena.
Okay, so my next pick, I'm going to go with Run, Sweetheart, Run. I know originally it came out in 2020 did like a festival run, but
Sundance, and that was it. No, 2020, yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, so then it finally came out on Amazon Prime, so it's just really exciting. Anyway, I really like this movie. It's basically about a girl who goes on a date. It's a date gone wrong. I feel like it has a lot of subgenres in this little one, in this movie. It was very surprising for me. I thought that things were going to go a certain way, and it completely did not. So, I don't know. It's bloody. It's fun. I don't know. You're just rooting for that main girl. You love seeing her transformation. So if you are looking to check out something fun and fast paced, I recommend this one.
I do want to add, because Zena had talked about it before on this show, and her enthusiasm inspired me to revisit it since I saw it at Sundance in 2020. And I do want to say that that long time between its premiere at Sundance and when it finally released, they went back and did some reshoots. specifically, I mean, it all plays out the same. The one thing that I did notice is that her baby daddy has a completely different domestic life. There was, he had like, I think it was some kind of gang that he was part of, or his family was part of, and that's who was at home. And then in the release that they have on Amazon Prime, it's like his new girlfriend and her friends and family. So like they completely swap that backstory, which I think is a smarter choice. But yeah.
I mean, he actually didn't seem that bad, you know, the way they were talking. I mean, obviously, I know we don't know, but he didn't really seem that bad. I mean, he was there for spoilers. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's my pick.
Oh, it's my turn, right?
Yeah. It is your turn.
There's three of us. How did this rotation go again?
I know. No.
We'll figure it out.
I know.
The year just started.
Yeah,
we'll get
we're
there.
Already tired. Go us. This is one that is another festival pick, and it's such an outlier. It's not really one that I think has a lot of mainstream appeal because it's so niche, and that's Timekeepers of Eternity, which is Aristoteles Maragos. I'm butchering his name. I apologize. But it's a Greek filmmaker who reinterpreted the Langoliers miniseries from the 90s in such a very interesting way that completely changes the movie entirely. Mm-hmm. And he does that with.
I still need to see this a lot.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I thought I saw somebody had acquired it. Maybe it was Shudder. I don't know. But it should be, all of these movies should be coming out this year that I'm referring to. But this one is like painstakingly animated with paper and stuff. It's really, like I said, it's very niche. It's not going to have wide appeal, especially for people who maybe aren't familiar with the 90s miniseries. But if you
that's
are,
okay. You don't have to be.
You don't have to be. this is the better version of it.
As someone who's rewatching Storm of the Century on Hulu, you don't have to rewatch those old Stephen King TV series. It's okay.
But yeah, I like that one. I feel like it's definitely worth checking out for constant.
Is that
readers.
The one that's kind of a short too? Is it a full feature?
It is full feature. I'm trying to remember how long it was. It's like technically anything over 45 minutes would be considered feature length.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was which wondering is, what the time limit was for that.
Yeah, which is why not on my list. But what is Werewolf by Night, the Disney special, is considered a feature film.
Huh.
So you
learn something new every day.
The more you know.
I'm going to go. I'm still going to keep up with what sounds like it should be an obvious pick. Maybe for me, if you just remember me talking about it at the beginning of the year. And it would be Night House.
Yeah.
Night House. Like, I remember originally watching the trailer and thinking it looked really amazing, but then kind of forgetting about it because not going out to theaters very much and waiting for it to come on streaming. But the portrayal of grief and the mixing of grief and anger and unresolved issues and mystery and supernatural and everything that goes on in that movie, along with what is one of my all-time favorite actor performances by an antagonist in a movie at the very end, which I don't want to go into detail because if you haven't seen Night House, just the actor's choice or the director's choice of how to portray a very specific part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The way that it's shot, the angles, and how they figured out the practicals for some of the not even jump scares, just scares in it. And it just felt original and twisted and kind of art housey and wonderful all at the same time. Like it could really just any horror fan could watch it and not turn up their nose at it. Like it was great across the board. Performances were just on. Couldn't ask for anything more. Like, love it. The Night House. Absolutely. If you haven't seen it, please, please. Makes it sound like I have stock in it or something.
And now I agree with you. Now, honestly, when we're done recording, I'm probably going to rewatch it because it's been a while. It's so good.
It is very
great
good.
Great pick.
Oops. Making noise.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to a series and I'm going to talk about, well, clearly... What? Okay. And I'm going to choose then the limited British comedy series, The Baby.
That's on.
Yeah, another HBO Max show. So it does have like a, again, like a comedic tone, but it is very much horror-y because within the first 15 minutes, there's some blood splatter and some splatter blood. Stuff happens.
Blood.
Yeah, so basically it's about a woman in her late 30s and all her friends are having babies and she's mad. Then one day she has a baby. We don't know how, but she does. And yeah, things just take a turn for the worse. It's very bizarre. So I'll leave it at that.
Dun, dun, dun.
So go watch it.
Yes,
so
go watch it.
My foot's asleep.
Really, what we're doing is coming up with a list of 30 movies that if you haven't seen, you should go watch them.
Yes. I feel like if you're, I don't know, you sometimes just get tired of watching, even though it's like we all love movies, but you know how it is. Sometimes you just need something a little light, you know, and this.
You got to break it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. It's very short, straight to the point, direct, easy watch. So watch it.
So watch. Speaking of light and fluffy, this is not that. Megalomaniac. I watched that at a fest. Last year, and it will be coming this year. I cannot remember who. I feel like it's also a Shudder acquisition. But anyways, Megalomaniac, it is a fictional extreme entry in horror. It's Belgian horror. It supposes that the Mons Butcher serial killer that was prevalent in, I think, 1997, 1996, and then just disappeared without a trace. This supposes that the serial killer had offspring that carried on his heritage. So it is very much psychological horror slash extreme horror, a little bit artsy, definitely grim, definitely wild and bloody. I enjoyed it, but it is heavy. So, yeah. Not the baby.
Well, I'll bring it back a little bit lighter and go with Mad God.
That is nope.
Was that not a funny movie for people?
It was funny.
Butts and poopers make me laugh.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of that.
For those of you who don't remember, Mad God is the movie that dropped on Shudder in October, I think. And it's purely stop motion by one of the FX creators, like Star Wars FX creators, like, and it's surreal and insane. And it captivated me in a way that I didn't think was going to happen because stop motion is kind of hard for me to watch. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, it's not Uncanny Valley because obviously none of it looks real.
It's the movement for
but
you.
But it's the jerkiness of the, I've talked about it before, like the synapses in my head that formed during the heyday of Tool and Marilyn Manson and stuff, any jerky walking stuff, like it messes with me. But the visual storytelling in it, I was so compelled just to watch the screen. And I know Megan, like, it wasn't as, she wasn't as captivated as I was because plot-wise, there really isn't any. Like, story-wise, like, it's kind of subjective as to what you think the story even is as you're watching it. And I get that. I get somebody watching and be like, what the hell did I just spend, like, 80 minutes watching?
Right.
But for me, it was so visually, like, stunning that, like, I can't not say, like, it makes me feel different ways, and they're not necessarily good ways after watching it. But that level of visual storytelling is just like a feat upon itself. And if it isn't nominated for some sort of a Visual Academy Award,
yeah,
then you know, go F yourselves, Academy, because give me a break. Like, this is a guy who had a vision for 35 years and finally got it down. Give him a participation medal at least for something like that, to finally get something like that done and for Shudder to pick it up. Bravo. Oh, so yeah, I understand it can be totally divisive if people like Mad God or not. I think it's a feat.
I'm pretty sure he has won awards in the past, though. It's not like, here's your participation trophy, Bill Tippett.
No,
you
I understand.
FX artist, you.
But for this.
Yeah, I know.
I get it. Yeah, I'm sure he's like on the top of all time for, you know, effects artist. And give him another medal.
Nice. Give him a Mad God medal.
Yeah, they don't cost that much. Go buy one. I'll buy him one.
Yeah, do it.
He'll be really confused getting it in the mail. He'll throw it away.
Be like, this is John's participation trophy for 2022. You did it.
I think
and a lot like a lot of our listeners, they're like, who's John? Why does he just call himself John? Like, what does that mean?
You're
you
John.
Be creepy John.
Nothing. I'm John. Yeah, I'm Peggy or John. I think John just fits because that's my name.
Well, yeah.
Your logic is sound here.
Yeah, it's mad. I get it. All right, Zena.
Okay, I'm going to go back to an old one. So I'm going to choose the Mexican supernatural horror, Supernatural, a.k.a. all of them witches from 1996. Mm. And it's been on my list for a long time. And you know me, guys, I love witches and things. And so just basically about a woman and her and her husband. And her husband's acting really weird. Like, clearly, some woman was murdered in her apartment building, like, right outside her door. It's, like, traumatizing, you know? But, yeah, it's a really good time. And if you're someone who enjoys, again, witches, like, very subtle type of witch stuff, I think that this is a must watch. Plus, you know, if you like Rosemary's Baby, you know, all them witches.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep the theming going on that one. I feel like we've got some overlapping themes, even though the titles aren't the same. So my next one is Venus. This one is part of Alex De La Iglesia's Fear Collection anthology series, which is over in Spain. I don't know how many entries they've had thus far. They've not yet made it over, but Venus premiered at TIFF and then Fantastic Fest last year. It is directed by Jaume Balagueró, mostly known for the Rec franchise. Or Record, however you would like to say it.
Rec 4 is on Tubi right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
This one is also very witchy. It's loosely based on H.P. Lovecraft's Dreams in a Witch House. It is set in a high-rise apartment complex. There is a girl on the run, and she tries to hole up there, but there be witches. So, yeah, I really
that
like it.
That's magical.
I know. I feel like you would love this.
And I'm going to keep the theme alive, too. I am. And before I do that, I want to clarify. The reason I called out the Rec 4s on Tubi is for me, Zena, and Megan, because we watched the other three and talked about them on Patreon and couldn't find the fourth one.
Yes.
So for anyone who's listening, who's like, why did he just get excited about Rec 4 being on Tubi?
We can close the loop.
I know. I just get excited when I see some things. But back on theme, Rosemary's Baby.
Yay!
Finally having seen
look
that.
At you.
It was one of those things where, like, kind of like The Omen, having never watched it before, I was like, all right, it's an old horror movie. Like, I know the gist of it. And it's so much, it's like watching Jaws. Because it's not about the horror. Yes, the horror exists and the horror is a driving force and everything else, but it's the performances and it's the character interactions. And it's not focusing on the focus of the point of the movie. You know, it's like not seeing the shark in Jaws until way later in Jaws.
Yeah.
Like, you watch Rosemary's Baby. If you don't know what Rosemary's Baby's about, you don't know what Rosemary's Baby's about. Like, you get to the end and they tell you, but there's no clues. They're not heavy-handing it. It's just a character study. It's more like watching a play than anything else. And it's, I love it. It's definitely one of those classics that, at least in my mind, definitely deserves to be a classic. Like, it's well-earned. Not just because it was ahead of its time, but because it's that good. Mm-hmm. It's not just a first through the door sort of thing. So, yeah. Rosemary's Baby.
I love that.
Baby. Nice. Okay. So, I'm going to pick the movie Fresh. It came out last January.
I almost picked Fresh.
Really?
It was on my original list. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love, like, horror movies about dates gone wrong. Like, it just, it's horrible. Can you imagine? So, yeah, basically this woman goes on a date and something goes wrong. And I'll leave it at that. Like, it's just, I felt like it was very refreshing, you know, to see. I thought it was a fun, fast-paced type of movie. I'm not going to lie. When I first watched it, I kind of put it on so I can go to sleep to it. But then I was just completely hooked. And if you don't know anything about this movie, even though I know it's like, oh, it came out last year. If you don't know anything about it, I recommend going in blind. Just check it out, you know, see if you might enjoy it.
Well, and it's like, I think I remember talking when I talked about this, when you guys had assigned it to me, it's just so charming in such a weird way. it's carried so much by the performances. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just about what it is.
I agree.
Like, because I felt the same way. I was like, oh, all right, let's see how this goes. And then, but I was like, oh no, I really like watching these two interact all through all the things that are happening.
And it's so weird because, you know, sometimes when you watch it and you can see, like, if the person is like, oh, come on, it's clear as day, there's something wrong with this person. Yeah. I didn't pick that up. The person seemed normal to me, and that would have been me. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, I was going to give a spoiler, but I won't. But you guys know because I'm sitting on it.
Yes.
My butt cheeks. Okay.
Now, if you haven't seen Fresh, you have to see it.
Okay.
We'll provide just enough inside references to make y'all like, God, that's fine. I'll go see that
go
now.
Watch it. It's on Hulu. Yeah.
Yes.
I am a sucker for underdogs that essentially single-handedly take on armies of enemies. And that is what Sisu delivered and then some. Sisu. This premiered at TIFF. It is by the director of Rare Exports. It is set during, I think the end of World War One. Definitely one of the ends of the World Wars. And it's an ex-soldier who uncovers gold in Lapland, Finland. And he goes on a trek to cash it in and comes across some Nazis. And then it becomes a one man versus a battalion. And limbs fly, blood flows. It is hyper-violent in the most infectious way. I adored this movie. If it had come out in 2022, it definitely would have been on my best of 2022 list. Instead, I get to save it for 2023 because it is amazing.
Nice. Is it fun, like Dead Snow type fun killing Nazis?
Yeah, it's a little bit more serious than like Dead Snow, but it's just... I did an interview around TIFF with the filmmaker, and he was just like having a grand old time finding creative ways to kill Nazis. And so, yeah, he succeeded. It's a blast.
Nice.
I would be pretty remiss without saying this one, since I think on the list this is the one I've seen the most, and that would be 2022's Deadstream.
Such a good one.
And it occurs to me now that I'm looking at my list, most of my list actually did come out in 2022. So I'm just a liar.
Yeah, wow, I was going to say, I knew you had more in you. That was on my list.
The 2022 movies that I saw. So this has been a good year for movies for me.
Yes.
For those of you who don't remember, Deadstream is essentially, it's a horror comedy with a YouTube influencer who got demonetized because of a horrible prank gone wrong. For those of you who have watched YouTube or have kids who watch YouTube and you are driven insane by these YouTube personalities and their terrible pranks and attitudes and personalities, this will resonate in a really charming way, though. Because done wrong, I could have very much watched this and been like, I can't handle watching these people anymore. Kind of like one particular episode of American Horror Stories that was kind of difficult to watch along the same lines, like, oh, these are just terrible people that make a lot of money by acting like terrible people. But Deadstream is, they take it to a haunted house, and the mixture of comedy and horror is really great. Because, and I was listening to an interview with
The Winters,
who's the, like, the, is he like the president of Shudder?
Are you talking about Craig Engler?
Is it Craig?
Or Sam Zimmerman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Craig Engler. I was listening to an interview with him on Last Podcast on the Left, and he was kind of talking about that a little bit and how the key with horror comedy is both.
Yeah.
Like, it can't just be comedy. You know, there's got to be some horrific parts to it. There's got to be suspense to it. Otherwise, it's just comedy. Mm-hmm. And I think, and Deadstream nailed it. Like, there's some genuine, like,
scares.
Ooh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, where it actually does completely shift away from the comedy, and you're just kind of watching that tension happen. And yeah, I mean, there's going to be people who like it who don't, but this is an intentionally problematic person who is putting himself in a problematic situation and paying the price. Mm-hmm. So it works for me.
Agreed. I love it so much.
Do you think that we'll get a sequel?
I want to petition Henry Zebrowski to play the brother, because they're like spitting images, and that would be amazing. As someone who binged Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell, which I actually would have added to my list if I really thought about TV series from last year, that would be amazing. I hope so. Because didn't that duo write a segment from VHS 99?
The one where Zach, yeah.
Yeah.
That one's
so, which totally makes sense, because that's largely comedy based in hell, which was kind of scary at the same time.
More
so,
Mabel.
Yeah, I hope to see more from them. They're a great duo.
Agreed. Big time agreed.
I agree. Okay, so back to me. Yippee. So yay. I'm going to choose a show. I just spoke about it. Connect. Once again, else on Hulu. I binge watched this in one day. It's basically about this guy who gets kidnapped by these people who like to just organ harvest, you know, and they take his eyeball. And the next you know, he has someone else's eyeball, and it's a serial killer. And then there's like, you know, these little vine things coming out of his eyeballs, and there's a lot of splatteriness that's going on. So yeah, it's a good time. I it was very surprising. If you like serial killers, if you like splatter, you know, and little eyeball things coming out, you may enjoy this one.
We love eyeballs coming out.
Yeah.
I still need to check that out. Xena keeps throwing wrecks out there, and then I keep watching them.
Awesome,
so obviously it's on my to-do list.
Yippee!
This one is one that John's going to be like, oh, yeah! The Outwaters.
Oh, yeah, because that's on my list, too. I was going to say that one next.
Is it really?
Twofer. Yeah, we got a twofer.
Okay, okay. Well, there we go. This one is coming out in theaters and then Screambox this year. So that one I do know.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that Brad Miska like tweet or message that out, at least on Instagram, not on Twitter. But yeah, because originally wasn't just going to go to Screambox. And then was it after the success of Terrifier 2 that they'd always
planned theatrical. Okay. I don't think that Terrifier shifted it. But yeah, it has multiple release plans basically.
Nice.
But this one, found footage, bored travelers encounter menacing phenomena while camping in a remote stretch of the Mojave Desert. This is by Robbie Banfitch, wrote, direct, starred. This one is a found footage. It is slow burn, but it builds into something so wildly unexpected that it's like a crazy reminder that every time you think that there might be a creativity drought in a specific subgenre of horror, no, something comes along to prove you wrong, and this is that. It is amazing.
This one, I wholeheartedly know, is already super divisive.
Yeah,
it is. This is kind of like when we were talking about last week with Headcount, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, where I looked at the Google reviews and it was like 2.3. This one is going to have a ton of 5-star reviews and a ton of 1-star reviews.
Yeah.
Because it completely subverts the found footage genre for the formula that you're expecting. Not in the same way that Barbarian does, but it does shift it. Like, it's like the things that I complain about in found footage movies and horror movies in general, they're like, okay, let's not do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what? Wait, what? So all of a sudden, Act 1 is not what you think it's going to be. And Act 3 is definitely not what you think it's going to be. So it's going to be super divisive. I think it's amazing. Like, I mentioned when I saw this, I reached out to the filmmakers on, like, Instagram, and I was just like, thank you, like, for making this.
Aww.
And he's like, they said it had been tough because they had gotten some really positive praise and they've gotten some really negative like comments. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And you're trying something new. You're breaking the formula. You're gonna get that.
It's not, and it doesn't go where anybody's ever gonna predict in a million years. Yeah, no.
Wow.
Yeah, especially if you sit there, yeah, without any spoilers going in, you watch the first act, you're kind of like, what?
And it does take a while to get going.
And when it does,
the payoff's worth it for me, but yeah, I totally understand that this is not going to be for half of the audience, probably. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'd say. I think you have to go into it and really think about what you're seeing in relation to what you've never seen before. So yes, I like so that. that takes Outwaters off my list. So we're right back to Xena.
We're
that
back
fast.
To Xena.
Not that fast? No. This is getting harder for me to pick one.
We only have two left.
I know, and that's what I have. 15.
Okay, well, but remember, we'll get through our 10. You can run down your honorable.
Yeah, I've got alternates. I've got four alternates too.
All
I totally
right,
acknowledge.
You. I'm getting stressed in my arms.
No stress.
It's
this
like
is
we're
a
doing.
Fun thing.
We're not doing trivia. We're fine.
I know. Please, God. Okay. So this is another old one, but I watched it last year, Retribution from 1987. And it's basically about this man who's suicidal. He tries to commit suicide. He fails. And then next thing you know, he's getting better. He's in the process of, you know, starting his life on a more positive note. But then next thing you know, when he sleeps, someone takes over his body. There's a murdered man that takes over his body and just starts to like host his body. And they want this man wants to get revenge against his murderers. This movie is so awesome. It takes place kind of around like New Year's Eve. Really, really awesome movie. Even though it was made in the 80s, and this is like no shade to the 80s horror because we all love 80s horror, but it doesn't feel like an 80s horror movie. It still feels very modern. And the acting is really on point. It's so good. I have no idea where it's streaming still. I think it might still be on Tubi.
I'm pretty sure it's still on Tubi.
Yeah. Luckily for me, Severin, they sent me this like beautiful Blu-ray. Oh my God. It's just beautiful. So I'm so excited to like rewatch it again.
Yeah,
so yeah, that one's definitely on the list.
Oh, I also have an 80s movie that feels very timeless. First time watch for me, thanks to Shudder, Siege. This one is set during, there's a police strike, which means that there's nobody manning the call board. It's a little bit Purge-like in that sense. And then, you know, these jerks go into a gay bar and somebody accidentally gets killed. Then they decide they're going to just cover their tracks and go on a murder spree, which leads to the sole survivor taking refuge in a nearby apartment, and then it becomes a siege. It's a siege movie. This is not on Shudder, I don't think, anymore, but I did check and it's on Prime Video and Tubi. But it seems very like you could watch this as if it was a Purge movie, like literally a Purge movie. It just holds up really well. And I just had a lot of fun with it.
That one's so good. Really good pick.
Thank you.
I had to debate the next one just because I'm never going to watch it again. And I actually have I have an alternate that is in the same category that I'll never watch again. But I can't deny how amazing of a film The Innocence
Yay!
Is.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot want to watch a thing and still be like, but
it's a movie.
It's a different level.
Yeah.
Too. If for no other reason, even if you don't like movies that feature children, because like some of the stuff, like it just hurts my daddy heart to watch stuff with kids. But the performances of these children is so unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like you captured lives that obviously aren't happening. And God, you hope to, I mean, you know, this stuff does happen. That's not, if you see the movie, you understand.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it. It's a tough watch.
It is.
It's a lot of feels across the board, but I was so almost like, I'm trying to think of a good way to say this. It doesn't just sound totally insane, but I know that that's usually how I sound on this podcast. I was just like captivated, almost like hypnotized by these kids' performances, where I was like, I was watching it like, but I've never seen a child actor, like, with the exception of like Abigail Breslin or like these kind of like once in a while you get a really good child actor, like Kirsten Dunst when she was in like Interview with the Vampire and things like that, where once in a while you get that amazing child performance. But this was all the children in this.
Incredible.
And that were acting perfectly with each other and just being children. It's like there's this famous line, Helen Mirren was like doing an acting class and she walks onto stage and she said, I just did the most difficult thing in acting, where I was walking while knowing that everyone was watching me walk. It's like when you actually have someone's watching you walk, like you forget how to walk.
Yeah.
Like you forget how you walk. All of a sudden it's like, am I taking longer steps right now? Like what's happening? So the fact that they're capturing these children being children on camera within the context of a plot and a script and everything else, it's unbelievable. It's like almost like they captured lightning in a bottle with this. So I'll never watch it again because it makes me feel super, super bad.
Yeah.
But it is amazing.
It is one of my favorites of the year, hands down. Agreed.
Good pick.
All right, Zena, last one.
Oh!
And then alternate. And then alternate.
Okay,
don't feel
you.
Stressed. It's okay. It's okay.
Ignore, I was watching a lot of Bob's Burgers, so Tina's, you know, sounds are in me. Okay, so I'm going to go with Sissy. Again, another influencer horror movie.
I was wondering if you were going to get to that. I thought about doing that one, too.
It's so great. It's just a wonderful movie. It's available on Shudder. So basically, these friends, childhood friends, they meet up again. They come across each other after a couple of years. And one of them invites the one who's a social influencer to her bachelorette, you know, weekend, or they call it hens weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, cool. So they're in this like really nice house, like, whoa, I want to live there. And yeah, but then things just take a turn for the worse. And you know what? The main girl who's our lead, her name is Cecilia, aka Sissy. She decides that she wants to take revenge. And you know what? I love it. So it's just a very fast paced, easy watch, and very bloody and mean. I feel like I've been saying that about every single movie. What does that say about me?
Okay. I mean, you had some humor, the baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
There you go. Well,
and Sissy is a lot more complex.
Yeah.
And there is humor in Sissy.
There's humor in there too.
There is.
It's cringy humor, but it's humor.
It is. And it's just like, you know, no spoilers, but it's just like I felt for that character because especially when you think that things are cool, but then because we all had that friend where it's just like they make it seem like everything's fine and they're the ones who invited you. You show up and it's a problem. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you didn't, that happened to me. I didn't kill anybody. But,
that's good.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, the actress who plays Sissy, she has a fantastic performance.
Oh.
She changes speeds a lot and quickly in the movie, and it's pretty impressive.
I agree. Again, it's like I really want to see her in more horror. I used to watch her in this. It was like a drama series called The Bold Type, and then she was also in this Christmas movie called Ghosted or something, where she dies and then she's a ghost, and then this guy was literally ghosting her. Or no, she was ghosting the guy because she died. But anyway, it's just, it's good to see her in a horror movie because she always seems like she's different. So that's a great thing, obviously, as an actor. Like, she literally becomes like a different person.
Yes, very much so.
So I, prepping for this, came across this and was kicking myself that I missed it when I was doing like best of series for Bloody Disgusting, my list there, because this would have been on it. But this literally dropped quietly on Peacock in January 2022.
I know what you're talking about.
Wolf Like Me. Such a charming series. Just 6 episodes. They're really short. Josh Gad and Isla Fisher. He's an emotional wreck trying to, you know, stay sane for his daughter since the death of his wife, her mother. And then Mary, she's a bit of a recluse because she has a secret that the title pretty much tells you what her secret might be. So it's very much like a rom-com slash dramedy because they're very broken people trying to navigate an attraction. But yeah, there's werewolves. I love me some werewolves. So you give me a rom-com with a werewolf. Yes. So I adore this.
It's with Josh Gad, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Fun.
I'm a little surprised you didn't say Cabinet of Curiosities.
That was on my TV list.
Ah, there you go. And then this one makes total sense to me. Maybe you'd be a little surprised after all the other ones that I said. Definitely not from 2022. From 1989, Intruder.
So good!
Yay!
For those who aren't aware, and I've discovered that many of you aren't aware of this, as I wasn't either, this is a slasher that takes place in a in a supermarket.
It's wonderful.
It is a very cheesy 80s slasher with both the Raimis and a quick appearance by Bruce Campbell, actually. And it's everything you want it to be. it's a cheesy 80s slasher that's just fun. Mm-hmm. And I had to add it because it's in like my comfort watch rotation now. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, how did I... It's always a silly question, like, how did I not know of this? As if I know anything in the first place, let alone this. But I'm very grateful to have found it amongst the sea of cheesy 80s horror movie that I've never seen before. The only other, and I couldn't remember the name of it. I keep forgetting. Is it Doom Asylum, where the girl gets turned into the cube?
Turned into the cube?
Oh, I don't
know. Like, she gets put through that machine and gets, like, crushed into, like, that weird cube.
I don't remember. And I've seen Doom Asylum, but I don't remember a cube.
No, that was a guy in Resident Evil who turned into a cube. Kinda.
No, I'm not thinking of Resident Evil.
Excuse me.
It probably could have. It was like, it could have been. It could have been Doom Asylum. I just don't remember that movie very well.
I think it was Doom Asylum where suddenly she gets, like, put through this really... Yeah, because Kirsten Davis is in it. Yeah. See, Doom Asylum would be higher on the list, but I've only watched it once, clearly, and I need to go back and watch that again. So as Xena watches The Night House, I will be watching Doom Asylum.
Well, there you go.
All right. How about we just run down, since we're almost at the hour mark anyway, each person just run down any alternates that they might have had.
Okay.
I got none.
Alrighty, so I have Master. Movie's so good. I loved it. Incantation. It's available on Netflix, found footage. Significant Other. My God, changed my life. Watcher. Woo!
Love it.
Okay, I'll stop making the sounds. and I know that this one was not a Dark Trio approved, but it is a Xena approved. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022. Because we actually had a massacre and it made me laugh. And again,
for the ending alone.
Yeah. And again, influencer horror, you know?
There you go.
Then I also have Orphan First Kill, because that movie's chaotic. No Exit. And this one, I feel like, didn't really get like that much love. And I don't think it's because people watched it and hated it. I just don't think that many people watched it. Mm-hmm. House of Darkness. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was very clever.
Yeah.
Then another Netflix one, Old People. Kind of zombie-ish type of thing. I have to have Smile on there because Smile just...
I was wondering. I'm like, she can't get through this without seeing Smile.
Yeah, but I was trying to also go more like indie type of thing, type of route, you know? So, but Smile, like, again, really enjoyed it. Series-wise, I did have From on there, but I know, you know, Megan mentioned it as well. And then also as a bonus, because Stranger Things, because when it came out, it had me in my feels. And then non-2022 movies, I have The Changeover. It's like a coming of age, witch and creature type of story. 100% my jam. Fatal Frames from the 90s, where basically this guy goes to Italy to film a music video with this woman who's kind of like Doja Cat, you know? So that's pretty cool. And then, you know, there's a killer. And then another Netflix one, Homunculus. And it's basically the guy who's able to see people's traumas. Some surgery thing. And then Deadly Dreams, which I talked about that one not too long ago, about the guy who witnessed his parents murdered on Christmas Eve and the person's wearing like a fox or a rat mask or something. So yeah, that's the list.
Oh, is that all?
Yes, girl. I'm sorry. But yes, that's all. It had me stressed, guys.
Clearly, I didn't think it was going to be that many alternates. So yeah, I understand your stress. Yeah.
Thank you.
How about you, Megan?
I'm set.
No alternates because you already had a top 15 list and a best series.
Yeah, I've
and
done so much coverage on Bloody Disgusting that I'm like, I'm set.
I had four alternates plus Doom Asylum, evidently.
Yeah.
I also had Smile. I debated putting Smile on there. It's just, it didn't hit me the same. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It just didn't hit me the same level as a top 10. It was on my top 10 for a little bit, and then it got bumped out when I realized that I had to put Innocence on there. Possum is actually in my top list.
Oh, nice.
And that was along with Innocence. It's another movie I'm not going to watch again, but it's so good. Especially Sean Harris is so fantastic in that movie. And it took me a while to realize he's the bad guy in the last two Mission Impossible movies. It's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, if there's anyone who can come close to Philip Seymour Hoffman's bad guy in Mission Impossible, it's Sean Harris. Like, Sean Harris is just outstanding. But it has one of the most uncomfortable movies I've ever watched. Just watching him stand was uncomfortable. And then I had Love and Monsters because it's just sweet. It's just a lovely movie.
It is.
But I haven't rewatched it enough times. And it's just, it's more fun than anything. And VHS 99, because it wasn't my favorite of the VHSs, but and it's interesting, I missed the wraparound story. I didn't think I would. I kind of missed the wraparound
aspect. I mean, they did give you a wraparound. You just didn't realize it was a wraparound until they went into a full-blown conclusion.
Yeah, they're tied together. I liked them individually just fine. I liked last year's a little bit more, for the stories a little bit more. But I'm still very, very happy with the series, and it would be just wrong if I didn't at least acknowledge it as my favorites of 2022.
Wonderful.
Nice.
And that's 2022's Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg, and check out our show notes for her top 15 movies that came out in 2022. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. So, for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform, or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.